to you in your hearing this morning in Luke chapter number 2. Give you a bit of an unusual topic or thought or title this morning to preach from, but a wonderful passage of Scripture, and show you some things from this passage. And we appreciate all of you being in the house of the Lord. It sure has been good to be in the presence of the Lord. And I've been feeling a very sweet touch from the Lord in my heart all day today. And I appreciate His presence. All is vain except the presence of the Holy One comes down. A whole lot of stuff going on in religious realms today, but there ain't a whole lot of spirit moving amongst the people of God. Not many folks want that, but I'm glad I want it. I am a candidate for it, and I'm thankful that He lets me experience that. And I praise the Lord for it this morning. Chapter number 2 of the book of Luke, if you've found your place and are able and willing, I would invite you to stand with us in reverence to the reading of the Word of the Lord. Chapter 2 of Luke, and in verse number 36. The Word of the Lord said, "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, and she was of a great age." Now, I like this girl Anna, this lady Anna, in this passage of Scripture. A lot of you know that Gracie's name is Anna Grace. And this name Anna means full of grace. And that's who this woman is. She's a great Christian of the Bible. She's a great patriarch or matriarch in this case of the Bible. And she was of great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from a virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of Him to all of them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. You can be seated tonight, today. Thank you for standing with us while read the Word of the Lord. The Bible said she departed not from the temple, Anna of Asher. She departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. I want to preach, if the Lord will help me this morning, on an old woman who lived in a pew. An old woman who lived in a pew. Some of you might remember an old nursery rhyme that went something like this. There was an old woman who lived in a shoe. She had so many children she didn't know what to do. She gave them some broth without any bread, whipped them all soundly, and put them to bed. Here a while back I went and got a book from the library of Mother Goose Rhymes. It had this rhyme in there, and the politically correct police had robbed the rhyme of its best line. Instead of saying how it whipped them all soundly, she whipped them all soundly and put them to bed, it said she gave them sweet kisses and put them to bed. Maybe that's why we got a generation of reprobates. Mamas has quit whipping them all soundly. Somebody say amen right there. But this was not a young woman. This was an old woman who lived in a pew. And them old women's the kind that would have whooped them all soundly and put them to bed. Amen. And she was an old woman, and she lived in a pew. And we are told in verse 36 that Anna was of a great age. In verse 37, we are told that she departed not from the temple. So that's why I'm preaching this morning on an old woman who lived in a pew. There are some considerably remarkable things that happened at this temple where she departed not from, where she dwelled consistently. This is the same temple where the angel Gabriel scared that old priest Zacharias with the news that Brother John talked about this morning in the Sunday school lesson, and how that he informed him that John the Baptist would come and that he would be this forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. It took the words out of Zacharias' mouth for that whole 9 months. He was unable to speak. It took his breath away. It, my friend, took away his ability to communicate until he held that sign up that said, "His name is John." I told Sister Tanya this morning it was not only important that his name would be John because it was a sign from the Lord, but if his name had been Zacharias, that would have never worked out for a Kyle Rowland song to have been written about. His name was John. And so it happened that his name was John. And what a remarkable thing how this is the same temple that King Herod helped to build and to restore. And it was a marvelous structure. It was an amazing feat of architecture that had taken place here. This same temple was under construction for 46 years, according to John chapter 2 and verse number 20. This is the same temple that the disciples sought to show off to our Lord, to show Him as some sort of emblem of the greatness of the nation of Israel. In Matthew chapter 24, and Jesus went on to prophesy how one stone would not be left upon the other when it was all done, and the works of their hands would be brought to nothing. And He taught them to remember that really there's nothing in life that lasts and that matters except for a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, this is the same temple, my friend, that came tumbling down in A.D. 70 when that Roman general Titus came to town. It reminds us that we don't impress the Lord of glory with our fancy get-ups, whether, my friend, in duds or detached houses, whether in fancy dress or fair faces, whether in brains or brawn. We do get His attention when we lift up His Son and we seek to glorify and, my friend, to praise the King of glory. Jesus knew this destruction of the temple would happen. Matthew chapter 24 said in verse 1, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and His disciples came for to show Him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." You see, when God, my friend, with the establishment of the New Testament covenant came, the New Testament church was given, God was finished with the work of that temple. The veil of the temple was rent in twain from top unto bottom. Amen. And the Lord's work in that temple had been accomplished and done. Oh, but thank God, while it was there, of all the wonderful things that happened in that temple, my friend, one of the greatest things that happened is recorded in our text here today, where this little old woman who lived in a pew has an experience with the great Savior of the universe. Oh, this blessed senior saint, Anna of Asher, experiences a joy in her heart as she looks in the face of the One who's come to save all of Israel from their sin. Earlier in chapter 2, we have the account of Simeon beginning in verse 25. And to my friend, how that he waited for the consolation of Israel. He was a man who put the Holy Ghost upon him. The Spirit of God led him to the temple that day. And to my friend, he held that baby boy Jesus in his hands, and he said, "Mine eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord." He said, "Lord, now let us thy servant depart in peace." He said, "This salvation has been prepared for the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." He warned Mary that a sword would pierce through her heart also, that grief would become in her heart. But while all of this is going on in our text, my friend Anna comes walking in, as she does time and time and time again. She ministered there day and night with prayers. She lived in that little old pew. But this day was not just an ordinary day. It was not like all the other times when she came to church to pray for this need or for that need, or to call the names of family members and neighbors that weren't doing right and needed help from God. This day she came walking in, and right in the middle of where she was, Simeon stood with that baby in his arms and his face all aglow. And Anna took one look at him, and God, my friend, confirmed in her heart what He had already confirmed in the heart of Simeon. things in prophecy. And she rejoices to see the face of the blessed Redeemer that had come to take away the sin of the world. God rewarded a little old woman who lived in a pew by letting her see that precious baby boy Jesus. And let her know that He had fulfilled His promise and had come to save from our sin. What a blessing it is. What a lesson to be learned. I want us to notice three things about this old woman who lived in a pew, and a few things about these three things, and I'll be done this morning. Notice first of all her profile. Verses 36 through 38 tells us a little about her. We find in these verses that Anna was once married. The Bible said that she was married, and when she was married, by the way, she was a virgin. She was pure. She had given herself to one husband, and she married him as a young woman, and she lived with him for 7 years until he passed away. But then she had been a widow of 84 years. After 7 happy years of marriage, her husband died. How he died or why he died, we don't know, my friend, but she never remarried for the rest of her life. That temple pew was her life from then on forward. It's not clear if Anna was a widow of 84 years old, or if she had been a widow for 80 years. 84 years. I tend to believe that she had been a widow 84 years. If she gets married when she's 18, and she's married for 7 years, and then she's been widowed for 84 years, she's in excess of 100 years old. And I do believe that is likely the case. A feeble, frail old woman, the world would have looked at her and said, she don't have no purpose here anymore. She doesn't have anything to offer anymore. She's not strong and capable. And my friend, promising like she once was, some 80-something years ago, she's just an old woman who lives in a pew. She's just an old woman. All she can do now is go to church. And even then, she eases around slow. And the young people worry, why don't she hurry up and get out of the way? And if somebody thinks she's accomplishing nothing, folks might have thought maybe that she was crazy, going to church all the time and living like she did. Why, she's lost her mind. She's been in that temple so much that she's just a crazy old woman who lives in a pew. There is no indication that she and her husband ever had any children. She's lived the great bulk of her life alone, but she has centered her life around the Lord. I'm telling you, this is not a bad way to spend your time on earth. It's called getting ready for the finals this morning. It's called getting ready for judgment. Amen. And this old woman, friend, the world would have said she had nothing left to live for, but she lived her life in a pew. Amen. Oh, friend, she knew that she was doing something that would pay big at the judgment seat of Christ. She didn't allow her deceased husband to freeze up her life. She didn't focus on the fact that her love had died and she was left alone and childless. And when God withdrew her earthly love from her, she rejoiced that she had rejoiced in. And she didn't bury her hope in the grave. And my friend, in place rather of what God took, He gave her more of Himself, and she became devoted to Him who had promised to be a husband to this widow. She got on with life and lived it to the fullest for the glory of God. She trusted in God, and in Proverbs 16:31 says her gray head of hair was to her a crown of glory, being found in the way of righteousness. She found purpose in serving God in great and grand purpose. She lived for that purpose right up to the end of her life, and God approved of that purpose that she had, and He wrote for us an eternal record in a word that is forever settled in heaven, and told us about Anna of Asher, an old widow woman, probably over 100 years old, who lived in a pew that that nobody else would have recognized.
Yes.
And God said, I paid attention to her life.
Yes.
I watched her service.
Yes.
Oh, my friend, and for time and eternity,
yes,
God has spoken to us.
Yes.
If you want to know what catches my eye,
yes,
if you want to know what gains the attention of heaven,
yes,
I take a look at Anna of Asher,
yes,
and you'll find out what God cares about. An old woman who lived in a pew. Some would say she wasted her life hanging around the temple all the time. She'd just end up being just an old woman who lived in a pew. But just wait until judgment day, and then we'll see whether she wasted her life or not. Here in Anna, we have the first female missionary in the New Testament. Amen. A herald of the incarnation to all who have looked for the Redeemer in Israel and in Jerusalem. I wonder how many others may have been in the temple that day. But everybody didn't recognize who Jesus was. But an old man and an old woman who others thought maybe had outlived their usefulness. God, my friend, made them to see who Jesus was. Are you hearing me? Those, my friend, amongst us who are not near as young as you look like you are after the beauty shop gets done coloring your hair and prettying you up, and you look so good to me, but my friend, you're not that young any longer, and maybe sometimes when you can't do what you used to do, and you can't do what you'd like to do, and my friend, you're not able to do what you want to do, I want to remind you of something. Those two old citizens of the church, those two oldest church members in the temple that day, they were the ones God gave revelation to. They were the ones God spoke to. They were the ones, my friends, that they saw Jesus. And by the way, they hadn't got too old to shout, and they hadn't got too old to rejoice, and they hadn't got too old to worship. And when they saw Jesus and they knew his Jesus, they got in the Holy Ghost and they worshiped God. You know what they were? They were examples to every young person in the temple that day. How that if you live for God, and if you'll give your life to God, and if you'll serve God, then God will honor your service. Amen. Oh, my friend, blessed are all those who patiently and prayerfully await the coming of Christ. Anna and Simeon found it out. Oh, yes. And I'm going to tell you, for all of us who are here in this world, we are waiting for the second coming of Christ. And He's coming again without sin and to salvation for them that are looking for Him. Amen. Well, be like Anna this morning. You say, I can't do a lot. Can you get in your pew? Can you have a ministry of prayer day and night? Can you serve God faithfully? Can you be an example unto others? Can you wait patiently for Jesus to come? Isaiah God, my friend, will recognize that, and He will honor it. Hebrews 9 and 28 said, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and my friend, unto them that look for Him, He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The Word of God tells us about an old woman who lived in a pew. Her name, Anna of Asher. And God recognized him. I recognized her at his first coming, right in the middle of a church house. Now I wonder, Brother John, how many priests were there that day? They were there on their course. They were there like John the Baptist's daddy, Zacharias, had come, because it was their turn to come. And they were carrying out their duties. They were doing what they were supposed to do. Oh, my friend, how many wore, my friend, decorative things, medals on their chests, showing they were officers of the temple. How many of those Sanhedrin members had been there maybe that same day, walking around with their heads hung high, looking important, thinking they were somebody. Oh, thank God. How many rich men had come in and out of the temple that day looking to be seen and to see. But these two old people, an old man and an old woman,
again. Oh, but thank God they're the ones who got revelation from God, and that God dealt with their hearts. Oh, praise His name. The Word of God says that she was of the tribe of Asher. A very interesting prophecies made about this tribe in Deuteronomy chapter number 33. And in verse 24, the Bible says, "And of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. And let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. And as thy days, so shall thy strength be." And it became a living proof that spiritual strength, life, vitality, and usefulness can be maintained right up until the end of one's life. As she was opposite, my friend, and the person of whom it was said, she died at 25 and was buried at 65. Oh, may I encourage you this morning, don't die before you die. Amen. Don't quit until Jesus carries you home. Don't quit until God calls you away from this whole world. I mean, serve God with every breath of life you have and live in this body. I spend it serving God. Amen. Amen. I had the first person I ever knew that had Alzheimer's was my Aunt Ruby Agin. And she suffered with it for a long time. 15 years or so. When I was just a little boy, she come down with it. She got in a bad shape. And they had her in that nursing home down there where we go every first Sunday of the month and preach. And they had a church on the other end of the building back in those days. And you'd ask her what she ate for breakfast. She didn't know. Ask her who any of us was. She didn't know. But when we'd take her and wheel her down there to that little room, and they'd sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. She'd sing every word, raise them little bony trembling hands, and tears come running down her face. Oh, my friend. She didn't seem to be useful to much of this whole world. But I tell you, as a little old boy, it made an impression on me. You know what she was doing, don't you? She was living till she died. She was living for God till she took her last breath. She didn't die before she died. Amen. She lived until she died. This woman, Anna of Asher, this old woman who lived in a pew, some thought maybe she'd outlived her usefulness. But she had not, friend. She was ministering in prayer. She was doing a work for God. Oh, keep living for God. A senior saint, sure. And my friend, your prayers mean more than what you could ever know. And when you cannot go, when you cannot travel. I've had them tell me, preacher, I can't get out at night. I can't go here and there. I wish I could go with you. I don't know how many times I've had some tell me that used to travel with me a lot. We just can't go with you like we used to. But I tell you the reason why that I can still go is because they're praying while I go. Amen. There's a ministry in the pew. There's a ministry in their prayers. And my friend, don't quit till you draw your last breath. Keep on serving God till you leave this old world. My little granny was so sick with cancer that she was just, I mean, she was like a walking picture of death. All of her strength gone. And I mean, all of her body just sapped of its life. And she lost so much weight and her cheeks had sunken in. And I mean, it was scary sometimes how rough she looked. And of course, we'd brag on her and tell her how pretty she was. And it was beautiful to us that she's still alive. But she'd got to looking rough and she was suffering so much, Brother Eddie. And she'd load up on that old plane and go to Houston, Texas. There at that cancer center, and they'd try to treat her and work on her. And she'd get so sick. Wasn't able to eat nothing but soda crackers and buttermilk. And she was just in a terrible state. And she got to where that it was awful to have to even consider the state she's in. But then she'd load up on that plane and when she'd get up in the air, inevitably the flight attendants would come around and ask them if they needed anything. And that she'd strike up a conversation and tell them, "I'm going to Houston to get to that cancer clinic." I said, "I've had cancer
but you know the Lord took care of us every step of the way, and should start to witness how good it was to be saved in the walk with God, and to know the Lord in spite of all of those things. And she got out there and sat on that old table. Doctor come in to talk to her and such, and she said, "Now, Doc, I don't want to come next week and spend all week out here and get these treatments. We got revival meeting going on at our church. I'm down there in Bremen where my grandson pastors. And I want to get back to go to revival meeting," she said. "I prayed the Lord and let me live and go to one more revival meeting." And then she got my friend, went Monday and Tuesday and got the treatments, and the doctor asked her, I said, "Miss Powers," said it, "what is a revival?" He said, "I've never heard tell of that." She said, "Oh, it's just the most wonderful thing in the world. That's all it is." She said, "All of God's children comes together and we pray and we shout and we sing and sinners get saved." And said, "You ain't never seen the time we have." I'm not telling you that doctor ever got saved, but he left out of that office and went and got his nurses and told them, "My grandma, you tell these nurses what you're going to when you leave this place." And they walked out of there wiping tears out of their eyes. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm not outlived nor usefulness. I mean, fear live for God till you die. Don't die before you die, friend. Amen. This old woman who lived in a pew, she was of the tribe of Asher, and they had promised him, "As thy days, so shall thy strength be." Her daddy's name was Phanuel. I don't know if you recognize the similitude of that name. It's a form of the name Penuel. And that's the same word, friend. I thank God that Jacob uses after he wrestles with that angel all night long on the side of the river. And he said, "I've seen the face of God and lived." And this woman's daddy's name was the same as his. Woo! It means a vision or the face of God. Hey, friend, it's a form. And my friend to tell us, this man may have never seen God's face, but his daughter saw the Redeemer. She looked in Jesus' face. Well, thank God. When Jesus come in that temple, after the custom of the law, how Mr. Peniel's baby girl, as a 100-plus-year-old woman, has saw the face of the Lord Jesus. Woo! Oh, bless his name. I'm going to tell you, I believe it's a testimony to a daddy who lived a godly life. Oh, I praise God for it. And no doubt some of the credit goes to Dad and God showing us. Isaiah 38:19, the father to the children shall make known thy truth. I believe when Anna was a little girl, Peniel set her down and said, "Sweetheart, it ain't going to be long now. It's been 400 years since we heard from heaven, but it ain't going to be long now. And the Son of God's coming. The Messiah's going to be here. Are you waiting to see?" I believe you'll see it in your lifetime, sweetheart. I may be dead and gone, but I believe you'll see it in your lifetime. And she looked at that baby boy, and she remembered her daddy's words. Woo! I tell you, young people, listen. I don't know how many of us will be here when the Lord comes back, but I believe we'll see His face very soon. And it might be in my lifetime or yours. Woo! And that old woman that lived in a pew, she saw His face.
Hallelujah. Makes me want to jump about 18 inches high and run to Goobertown, Arkansas and back. Amen. Thrills my soul this morning. It's Dad's duty to round up the family, keep them on track and lead the way. And Daddy, you may be raising the next Anna of Asher. You may be raising that next girl who will grow up. Maybe she don't become a politician, God help, a my friend, or a doctor or a lawyer or an Indian chief. Amen. But thank God if she becomes a little old woman who lives in a pew. I tell you, this is one daddy that loved to raise three girls that had grown up to be little old women and live in a pew. And my friend lived for God and serve God.
Yeah.
And my friend prayed day and night,
yeah,
God, help me raise some Annas of Asher.
Yeah.
That'll be a witness unto the generation around them. Amen. Oh my. Her profile. Then I want you to see a prayer. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, I feel God in my soul this morning. Her prayer. Verse 37 says, she's a widow fourscore and 4 years, 84 years. But she departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayer night and day. How about that? In the absence of her husband, she kept herself busy in the things of God. I want to ask you a question, ma'am. If your husband were gone from this whole world, if the leader of your home spiritually were gone, if your husband that prays daily, I'm talking to you women right now, that's got a husband that's spirit-filled and loves God and tries to serve God and has set that example, maybe he's seated in the pew with you this morning. If your husband that loves God and prays and leads your family in the way of God, if some tragedy were to take him out of this world today, what life would you live for God when he was gone? Would you continue to do what you do? Would you continue to live as you live? Would you continue to come to church faithful and to bring them babies to the house of God? Would you continue to witness unto others and to pray? Would you continue to dress with modesty in such a manner as would reflect well on the house of God and the people of God? Would you continue to try to serve Him? Would you still pray like you pray now and read your Bible the way into now? Would you draw near unto God? Or would you grow cold without that leadership? This woman lost the leader of her home. But the kind of Christian I believe her daddy was. But the kind of person I believe her husband was. I tell you, Anna had to commit herself. They're gone from this old world. But I'm going to live for God because I want to. I'm going to serve God because I love Him. I'm going to walk with God because I have a to do it. As she said to herself, my husband's gone. I have no children to rear. Now what on earth will I do in my life? I know what I can do. I will serve God. I will devote the bulk of my time to interceding for others by fasting and prayer. Oh, I think I'll make myself at home down to the house of God. I'll get in a pew and I'll pray. Amen. Never diminish the ministry of prayer. It's a ministry. The Bible said she ministered, she served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Amen. We probably will not know until eternity how many things God did among us directly due to prayer. We may also learn in eternity what went undone amongst us because we failed to pray. Amen. So don't ever give up. Just pray. I do know this much. God is not going to command me to pray and then take my supplications and toss them away and never use them. Amen. God is not going to command me to pray and then let me waste my time by praying. God is not going to command me to pray and then ignore my cry, friend. Oh no. I tell you, my friend, Revelation 5 and 8 said, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts of 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps with golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. That sweet smelling and perfume in front of the throne of God. It was the prayers that we pray. Our prayers are reaching the throne of God. Hey friend, I love the smell of freshly baked bread. I love the smells of tacos cooking up, my friend, or a hamburger on the grill. Hey man, I love the smell of fresh mown grass. But do you know what the Lord loves the smell of? He loves the smell of our prayers coming up to heaven by His children. One of the major pieces of furniture in the tabernacle and in the temple was the altar of incense where they bowed to pray. Exodus 31 and 8 told us that that incense symbolized sweet offering unto the Lord. Psalm 141 and
22 says, "Let my prayer be sent forth that to thee as incense, and the lifting of my hands as an evening sacrifice." Luke chapter 1 and verse 10 says, "And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense." What a transformation it would make in our lives if we would realize that God is listening when we pray. He delights in the smell of prayer. Amen. He delights in answering prayer. He hears everyone that we offer. So pray. The Lord's ear is not heavy that He cannot hear. Neither is His hand shortened that He cannot save. Oh, so pray, child of God. God wants us to keep praying until the day that we die. I'm going to tell you, my friend, a little old woman on her deathbed has power of prayer. And my friend, when she don't have strength of body, she's got power of prayer. When all you can do is whisper, "Lord, help." And God, help. I'm in my wits end, Lord, you've got to do something. I'm glad God hears prayers from desperate people. The Word of God makes it clear the power and the ministry of praying must never be underestimated, especially the prayers of the elderly. If we were wise, we'd seek out godly elderly people and plead with them to make intercession to our Lord on our behalf. Amen. Anna shows us you never get too old to pray. Amen. The reason why that I'm still preaching, started as a young man, young boy, 13 years old, and started preaching. The reason why I'm still preaching is because some senior saints, some people, my friend, with silver in their hair, have prayed for the power of God to be on my life. Amen. That's exactly right. Oh, good old men of God and their wives, like Brother Vernon Willis and Sister Bonnell pray. And I mean, grab me up after I preach, shake my hand, put their hand on the side of my face and say, "Preacher, the Lord's going to use you now, and I've got confidence in you, and I'm praying for you every day. Don't let me down. Don't disappoint me." Oh, my friend, and when the devil comes by and says, "You're not doing any good and you ought to quit," I'm reminded of them sweet faces of people like my great-grandma who'd take and hold a stick up in her hand, walking stick, and hold me by the tails of my coat and say, "Son, you can't quit. And what you're doing is too important. You serve God, and I'll keep praying for you." I'm going to tell you, I treasure the prayers of the saints. Don't ever give up. You are never too old to pray. And by the way, you're never too young to pray. And if you ain't never too young and you're never too old, all you people in between can pray too. I tell you, thank God we can pray this morning. Hallelujah. Woo! Bless His name. Her profile and her prayer. And I'm closing with this. I'm trying not to preach too long. But my Lord, this has helped my heart. And I'm hoping it's helping you this morning. Notice her prophecy in verse 38. The Bible said, "And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of Him to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem." Isn't this wonderful, the prophecy that she gives? Notice the instant of her thanksgiving that happens here. The Bible says, "And she coming in that instant." What instant are we talking about? It was while Simeon was giving his prophecy in these previous verses. While Simeon, that old man, has the baby Jesus in his hands. And he's saying, "Lord, now let us thy servant depart in peace. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." In the middle of that, Hannah comes in. She sees that baby boy. She sees the light on the face of Simeon. And instantly she gets into glory with him. And she gave thanks, my friend. Likewise, that means like Simeon did. I tell you, she got in the same Holy Ghost Simeon got in. It's for man and woman. It's for young and old. And my friend, it is for my children and yours. It is for every generation. Somebody said, "I'd like to have what Grandma had." I'm going to tell you, if you got the Holy Ghost living in you, you've got what Grandma had. Amen. And now just submit to it and let God do with you what what he did with her, having accomplished great things in your life. I tell you, my friend, God can be real to every generation. Amen. Oh, she walks in right in the middle of Simeon preaching. Why am I not surprised by that? Because she went in there all the time. Amen. Day and night looking for something. If you wanted to find Anna, you'd find her down at the house of God. Anna walks in right in the middle of Simeon's prophecy. And when good things are going on down at the house of God, Anna wanted to make sure she is right in the middle of it. Amen. As she has spent her life waiting patiently for the Messiah to come and to deliver his people out of the holy city Jerusalem. And God revealed Christ to Simeon and to Anna, and he did it while they were present at church. You want to see God's glory? You want to see God's power? You want to experience God's work? Oh, friend, he'll reveal him to you if you'll be faithful to his house.
I'm convinced if you'll come to church, amazing things will happen to you.
You ain't got to go out there and beat people up and drag them around and, my friend, take and twist their arm till they make a profession of faith. If you can get them to come to church, amazing things will happen to them. Is everybody listening to me? I'm not against personal soul winning. I'm for it. But I'm just telling you, it's remarkable what'll happen if you can just get people to church. Amen. At the house of God. If you can get them in the house of the Lord under the sound of gospel preaching that's full of the Holy Ghost, the Lord works miracles in people's lives. You know how I know that, don't I? Don't you? Because I'm looking at them all over the building this morning. People that got in the house of God, got under the sound of the gospel, the Lord God used His man to preach, and God worked a miracle in your life. And my friend, if he'll work like that for you, he'll work like that in others. He worked like that for Anna and for Simeon. He did it for me, and he did it for so many of you. And he can do it for our lost loved ones and friends.
Get in the house of God. Saved person. Get faithful to church. Ain't no telling what God would do in your life if you just settle in your heart, I'm going to the house of God. I'm going to church. Maybe my husband don't go with me. I'm going anyhow. This lady didn't have a husband go with her, but she went and God did something great in her life. Hey, friend, maybe my family don't go with me, but I'm going anyhow. Maybe others, maybe my friends don't go with me. I'm going anyhow. Maybe people don't approve. I'm going anyway. Maybe other folks think I'm foolish. I'm going anyway. Maybe it seems like nothing's happening in my life. And all I am is just some old fella, some old woman living in a pew. Oh, I tell you, one of these days, God will pull back the veil of my friend that has hindered your sight and let His will and His way be revealed in your life. And you'll say, thank God for every day I spend in a pew. Thank God for every day I spend in the Bible. Thank God for every day I spend in prayer. I tell you, it's been great to serve the Lord.
Amen. When I can, what I can do to make sure that I don't miss him is I can be at the house of God.
Yes, sir.
Spend time in God's house. It's so important that God told the whole world about a woman that best we know she didn't do nothing else spectacular except for come to church and pray and do it every day. She didn't cure cancer. She didn't discover penicillin. She didn't take my friend the first flight with Orville and Wilbur on the airplane. She never put a foot on the moon. She just showed up every day and prayed. And God wrote in His Bible for an eternal record about Anna of Asher. You want to make it in God's record book? You want to be something for the cause of Christ? Don't worry about trying to be the preacher. Trying to be somebody big, trying to be well known, everybody knowing your name. Don't worry about a pat on the back. You just be an Anna. Get in your pew and pray and let God use you the way He wants to use you. And there ain't no telling what God will do in your life. I'm finished preaching. You can come with a song. Think about what is going down here at the house of God in Luke 2. There's just a handful of folks. That were in on the events that occurred. All these people there. And there's a mama and a daddy. that so bad off they had to have a child in a barn. Amen. And a little baby that didn't even get one moment of attention from a nurse at a hospital. The little baby that didn't get one minute in my friend, the doctor's office, making sure that everything was just right, weighing him and measuring him and all these things. A little baby that didn't even have decent clothes to put on and just got wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in the hay trough. Oh, friend, these standing there were two old people, the likes of which everybody else thinks have outlived their usefulness, and are just 1 foot away from the grave. And right in the middle of these four lies the Son of God in all of His glory, manifested in human flesh, and the hope of the whole world is in the middle of these four. If we'd have picked out a place to find Him, we'd have said, this ain't the place. If we'd have picked out the people to gather around, we'd have said, those are not the four. An old carpenter and a woman from a barn, with a woman 100 years old that ain't got sense enough, society, and all she does is go to church. That crazy old man that thinks God won't let him die till he sees that new baby. When I said, man, if we're going to find the King of Glory, we'll find Him somewhere besides there. But He showed up in the middle of them. Oh, my friend, thank God. When the world looks at us, they may think we're feeble and weak and few. But I'm glad God shows up in the midst of us. To His name. I'm telling you, friend, if you'll get to the house of God, get faithful in it. Give your life to serve Jesus. There is no telling what God will do for you. Outside the house of God, here it is, the Christmas season, and the whole world was caught up in their own agenda. They're going and coming and buying and selling and trading, and they miss something big. While the world's wrapped up in Santa Claus and Christmas trees and buying and getting, they're missing the bigger things that are going on in an eternal realm here at the house of God. Determine in your heart today to place your purpose on something higher and something greater than the world can offer. If that just means being a little old woman who lived in a pew, stand to your feet if you need to pray. I preached you what the Lord's laid on my heart this morning. And I hope somehow it's been a blessing. I hope it's encouraged you. I hope it's challenged you to live for God. Oh Lord, help me throw aside. And listen, I'm not condemning it. I'm telling you it's just not important. Lord, help me to get my eyes off Christmas trees, off cooking and cleaning and doing and buying and wrapping and giving and getting. Get my eyes off of all the commercialism that has so distracted us. Forget about some fat man that runs around with elves and talks to reindeer. And my friend, for a little while, I realize there's something big, something eternal, something that really matters going on amongst the people at the house of God. And Lord, help me serve You till I die and leave this old world. Sing when you're ready to sing. Tried to encourage you to live for God this morning. Help us, Lord. Yes, He is. Wanting to use you. Wanting to help you. Wanting to reveal Himself to you. Sometimes I regret that we didn't name all three of our girls Anna. At least Anna something. Amen. Gracie got the name because she was the first one, not because she's the most important. But I want them all to be Annas of Asher. Oh, hey. If nobody ever calls them doctor, if there's nobody ever has them, my friend sees them riding down the road in a Cadillac. I sure do want my girls to be little women who live in a pew at the house of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh my. You want to make daddy proud if your daddy's Holy Ghost filled. He'll be more proud. working at the Hollywood. Yeah. If your daddy's spirit filled, he'd rather see you. Yeah. And my friend have the things of God in your life. Yeah. Has my friend to boast a diploma on your wall. Yeah. And my friend have $1 million in the bank. Yeah. Okay, he wants to see you live for God. Yeah. Oh, God, help us to be for news this morning.
Yeah.
To have baby girls and boys.
Yeah.
That see the zeal for God in us.
Yeah.
And inspire them to grow up being men and women that live in the pews of the house of God. Say on. God, help us. God, help us. Hallelujah. Amen. You ladies and men that pray for me are more precious than you could ever know. Church, you get to where you can't travel with this old preacher no more. You keep praying so I can. Keep praying so I can. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Last night we was at the prison in Hancock County, Georgia. Sitting up on the stage there waiting for, in that little lunch room that they have a stage built onto there to sort of transform it from a lunch room to a chapel whenever it comes time for preaching time. And they just put out all the tables or put out all the chairs rather than such. We, Brother Bob and Randy and Brother Matthew and I was sitting up on that stage waiting for church service to get started. And I talked to Brother Randy just a little bit and handed him a note. And I said, why don't you read that? He read it and I handed that to Brother Bob. And I said, why don't you read that in just a minute? And he read it and I said, ain't that a blessing? And was talking about Brother J.B. and how the Lord saved him and worked in his life. And Brother J.B. can't go with me all the time in these prisons. I know he'd like to be able to go with me sometimes, shake hands with everybody and try to witness and so forth, but he can't go with me. But I know he prays for me when I go, and I know that he loves the work that we do, and I know that he appreciates it. And I'm going to tell you, brother, and I'd like to point out everybody that I'd want to tell this to, but I've just had you on my heart last night. And I want to tell you that I appreciate you praying so I can keep going. And it helps me. And that I love you, brother. And just you sitting on that pew, you don't ever say nothing. You just sit on that pew and say amen to me and smile and shake your fist and raise your hand. And it helps me preach. And I want to tell you, I appreciate it and that I love you. I appreciate everybody that will serve God and live for God, not to be seen or to be noticed or to be recognized, but because they just want to serve the Lord. I tell you, God will honor it one day. I believe this now. Hear me, son. Preach here, there, and wherever God will put the open door. But when we get to judgment, it'll not be me and you that'll get to big crowns and be honored so greatly. It'll be little granny women that pray for us. Amen. It'll be my wife and these other preachers' wives who wash clothes and wipe the snotty nose of babies while their husbands is gone preaching the word of God and have tried to be faithful at home to serve the Lord. It'll be women and men that have prayed. Now I'm praying for the saints of God that have prayed for their boys and girls and the sinners in their community to be saved, who brought them to the house of God that the man of God might be able to preach to them. I tell you, that's who's going to have some stars in their crown one of these days. Praise the Lord for the little old people that live in a pew at the house of God. Hallelujah. Oh, bless His name. Hallelujah. I wonder this morning, have you obeyed God? Done what the good Holy Ghost would have you to do in the service today? I've tried to give you what God's put on my heart. And sometimes I wish I could preach with polish.